It's such a privilege to be here today with all of you. What I appreciate so much about being part of the spiritualist community is that whenever I am within it, wherever, there is a feeling of home. So thank you so much for welcoming me home for this time together. Now, in thinking about what I might share with you today, I was reflecting on a process I really recently went through during a time of illness. And I'm sure we all know that sometimes when you're laid up, you just are forced to have time to think, right? And I was thinking about the concept of baggage in that whether it be from an illness or other sorts of things, things that might have gotten in our way without us realizing in the busy pace of life, perhaps not being as connected to our higher selves as we might have hoped we were, caught up in this at work or that at home. It's easy to get away from ourselves. And so with looking at that kind of situation, there's, of course, always an opportunity to learn and grow. And as I was reflecting on this for myself, of course, when Spirit gives us an opportunity to learn, we hear messages over and over, right? I realized I was hearing a similar strain in conversations around me at work with friends. And it seemed like people were doing a lot of talking about what we carry. What we carry without realizing it, and then worrying about what was normal. So in noticing this almost collective push that I was feeling around me these days to find an internal balance, what should we be, how should we feel, and always it seemed to be how to feel better, what should we avoid, and of course all the shoulds, the tyranny of the shoulds. So baggage, not the kind we fill up and run with, plane or a train, or throw into our car as we're preparing for a great vacation or visit to friends or relatives. Not the daily use of baggage of a woman's bag or a kid's knapsack, things that we have to have every day. It's what it is. And probably one of the most striking pictures of invisible baggage in literature comes from Charles Dickens. Most of us have probably seen one version or another of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, in which Ebenezer Scrooge's late partner, Jacob Marley, comes to visit him, and he's dragging all sorts of weights attached to him by chains. And at one point, he notes he could not see the chains and weights in life, though they were there and he had forged them all. Think about that heaviness, the baggage we take on and often do not realize we're carrying around. And then it forms the experience, as we've learned from our guides, on the other side. So moving from that thought of heaviness, now think about what a young child looks like, dancing and twirling around a green lawn, how free and joyful and unencumbered. Remember what that felt like when we did that as young children? So take a moment, breathe into that sense of lightness and alignment with all that there is when we're experiencing that oneness. Another image of that for me, that sense of joy and lightness, is when I see a dog breathing in the air as it has its head out of the window of a car and the car speeds along. And can you see that? I love the sense of oneness with the world that emanates from animals in that kind of experience. The kind of bringing the world enthusiasm, the joy of whatever is to come. The dog doesn't care what's on the next block. The dog is just in the middle of it. Whatever is coming must be good. A child twirling, an animal in ecstasy of being. It's all about the state of mind and alignment with the moment. And there's no baggage there. Gordon Burroughs, in his book, Becoming a Spiritualist, notes that what we accumulate along the way creates lives that can be as cluttered as attics, yet all unseen. It's about energy and how we work with it. The natural laws of cause and effect and of attraction are set into action, into motion by our minds. So when we let ourselves sway into the energy of negativity or criticism, judgment, worry, whether about ourselves or others, what is it that happens? Our bodies react at the vibrational level. We may feel angrier without initially realizing it, lower in spirits. We get tighter, tenser, and then our bodies start to work differently, reacting to that vibration, and life can just feel a lot harder. Now, I'm not saying there's a magical way to stop those kinds of reflexes, because spiritual development and learning about all this is our life's work as spiritualists. When we accept the declaration of principles, we're saying there's a way we want to strive to be in the world. The physical world has many challenges, of course. We all have our own. But it is about the awareness we have in each moment. When we are angry, do we feed it? Do we work ourselves up to feel more and more justified? When we're tired of what's before us, it all feels like too much. Do we blame ourselves and engage in self-talk that beats us down further? Or do we use the experience, the doubt, because that's what it is, isn't it? Doubt that we can trust in infinite intelligence in us and around us. Doubt that something could change. Doubt that we could do anything about it. When it all begins to surface, to cycle, to say to ourselves, wait a minute, what's going on here? To pause and redirect. To perhaps think about, how can I choose to feel differently? To own that. To think about where the other person is coming from in his or her opinions, releasing judgment, forgiving ourselves, treating others with kindness, and taking that moment to start again. Even in just a split second, a big shift can happen. To remember to come from a place of love and acceptance, to remember to trust. This does not mean that everyone will agree with us, or that when we have a strong opinion, we won't express it, or when we have an illness, we won't feel pain. It's about anchoring our energy in a different positive way. And every time we redirect ourselves positively, even for just a short time, it helps our energy to become more in the flow. And isn't this part of what we were all attracted to in spiritualism? That we have the incredible gift of free will, of personal responsibility. And our principles are powerful statements to choose to make positive choices and evolve ourselves spiritually. And we know as we each do our part, our work, the world around us changes. As we change our vibrations, our choices, we affect those around us. It's about what we focus on and cultivate. When I worked at the Red Cross in New York City a number of years ago, I regularly received bulletins from the New York City Office of Emergency Management. Some were notices about fires, flooding, train evacuations, all in that kind of genre, more than I ever wanted to know. And some were just simply useful safety tips. One in particular gave helpful hints on how to avoid drowning if caught in a riptide. And what I read, surprisingly for its source, struck me as an extremely profound spiritual message. Because, the bulletin said, the only way to survive a riptide, the tremendous force occurring in the ocean, is to relax into it. How seemingly counterintuitive for our physical reflexes here on Earth. But how common an answer is that to many of life's challenges? Taking a breath, letting it go, feeling ourselves relax and change perspective, avoiding emotional drowning. When we relax instead of holding tight, we're able to see the larger wind, if you will. When we relax, we allow ourselves to align with universal energy, with the flow of natural law. When we relax, even with just a breath, release our tension, unhealthy baggage releases as well. And the riptide has less of a chance, our emotional riptide has less of a chance to pull us down. Again, looking at Gordon Burroughs' book, he asks, how much easier is it to pack our mental baggage with the necessary things to take us through life? And what are those necessary things? He believed that they're very simple and make for a symbolic light bag, not a heavy one that's difficult to lug along. Burroughs named constructive thinking, love, sympathy, compassion for and understanding of those who we come in contact with, and faith in infinite intelligence as what is best to take along our way. I have a friend who had a stint of trying online dating, and she shared with me that one of the favorite profiles she read was as follows. The gentleman had acknowledged that everyone has baggage, particularly after a certain stage of life. But he asked for any woman replying to him to make their baggage carry on. I think about that image often. The light bag you can run through the airport with, hop easily into the overhead, not have to wait at a baggage claim, perhaps for an hour before heading out into a new place. Freedom, ease, We're all human. We all have our stuff and our experiences. It's how we sort it through, what we hang on to or not, that makes for the shapes of our lives, a life within spiritualism. So related to baggage, what about that other word that I mentioned at the beginning, normal? I don't think it's possible to look at baggage without the accompanying concept of normal. What is a normal experience or a normal way of life? Is there one? When we have stress, periods of stress or crisis in our lives, how many of us find ourselves thinking, or I've heard others say, well, things will get back to normal soon, or I can't wait till things are normal again. Normal is a term, a concept that I think comes like the cart for our baggage. Do we get so used to what we carry around that we come to believe that that's the way it should be? Who has defined for us what is normal? Do we take on the expectations or beliefs of others, ending up with invisible weight again, judging ourselves less than another because we see things or experience things in a different way? So I would offer the thought today that normal is also about the state of mind that brings us into joy, into peace, into an understanding of the nature of the universe and infinite intelligence, into feeling our connection with the divine. What if we all could truly embrace that every day as what is normal? Remember in the healing prayer, we ask for restoration to perfect health. The language of this thus acknowledges that perfect health, mind, body, spirit, has existed if it can be restored, our true normal. The MSNC booklet offers an in-depth discussion of the healing prayer in the focus on the phrase, remove all obstructions from my mind and body, notes that it is our fears that drive the obstructions. Again, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, it's important to take inventory of what those fears are. The moment to pause, as I mentioned earlier, not to ignore, but to develop awareness of what's blocking us. Not to suppress or separate, but to bring all into the light of spiritual consciousness and acknowledge it. The image of a garden in this NSA piece is used to support us in this process. The encouragement is to see and embrace our fears within the light and then carefully weed them from the garden of our understanding. That otherwise those fears, like weeds, strangle the beautiful flowers representing well-being. The weeds thus become our baggage. We no longer have a sense of our perfect normal as created by infinite intelligence. It is stated that weeds are best eliminated by the cultivation because it's what we focus on that blooms. Again, the law of attraction. If we focus on our flowers, then the doubts, the fears, the weeds gradually will fade away. And of course, it, within that same prayer is the most powerful section that we must do our part. No one else can do this work for us. Honesty, diligence. When we do our part, Infinite Spirit works with us in partnership. All as one. We are one manifestation of the whole. Healers know that spiritual attunement, stepping into that vibration of cooperation with spirit, is an example of that wonderful cooperative process during healing. This ongoing process, our awareness, what we choose to do, is the path to spiritual enlightenment. One step at a time, one thought at a time. And the adventure, the promise, is that it's an ongoing process. There's always more to learn. So with all that work, of course, it's important to be kind to ourselves along the way and to trust and in ourselves, in infinite intelligence, that the most important and enduring things are most often what cannot be seen. Wayne Dyer, in his book, Wishes Fulfilled, shared a story about an experience that I think highlights this. He wrote, I once had a conversation with a neurosurgeon who was disputing the presence of the invisible world of spirit by saying he'd cut into thousands of bodies and never seen a soul. I remember his awkward look when I asked him if he'd ever seen a thought while he was poking inside a brain. We know from spiritualism, the evidence, the science, that souls are real, that there is continuity of life. We trust that our thoughts are real. We trust that spirit can and will help us. I put my trust in the love and power of God, we say. This sentence puts it all in harmony. Love that eliminates fear. Without fear, without doubt, we create space for harmony, for balance, and being conscious of what we were hanging on to or choosing to release brings us into consciousness of the one unifying power in the universe, the infinite intelligence. We can view the last line of the prayer, trust, love, our God, I think, as a prayer within a prayer to represent the different flowers in our respective gardens, flowers which each create and carry a chord of the overall vibrational song that supports us on our way, spiritual understanding, into a greater understanding of spiritualism. When I was first learning about spiritualism, it just sparked a new hunger in me to learn what I could about the infinite and about God. And having come up along my way through different formalized religions, I was confronted with contradiction in this every step of the way. But I was hungry, and I stopped for any article I could see. And one day, I was walking down a busy street, and I saw a Christian Science Monitor bookstore, and there was a magazine that had the front article, Where is God? And even though I was clear that my belief systems were different, I read this, and I was really struck by the discussion. The author was talking about the Bible story where Adam is in the garden after having lost innocence and is talking to God. And God says, Adam, where are you? And the author said that when he was younger, he thought that this was strange, and it made him doubt his belief in God, because why wouldn't God know where Adam was? And then he said, as he got older and read more and learned more, he realized the question God was asking is, Adam, where are you yourself in relation to God? It was not that God could not see Adam, but Adam could not see himself in relation to God. And I thought, That again, for me, was very profound in just a simple shift, a simple pause. Where are we in relation to the unifying power in the universe? Are we no longer looking? Have we forgotten to nurture our connection? And what are we carrying instead? So whether you like the idea of weeding a garden, or packing or unpacking your baggage for this human trip, or just want to figure out normal, it's really simply about enjoying our physical journey, what we can learn, what we can do when we love, what we can affect in the world by just our presence. Trust, love, power, God. It's simple, but we know it's not easy here in the world with so many day-to-day responsibilities we all feel, and I certainly don't want to minimize that. But what is promised through natural law is that it is possible. Carry on baggage. I like that concept because it recognizes there's no perfection here on earth. And regardless of the physical happenings, healing is not necessarily about a physical plane cure or the end results of our dreams. Sometimes what happens is better than what we had imagined here on earth. It's awareness that helps us free ourselves from what otherwise would weigh us down, slow us down in our progress towards spiritual growth. It's refusing to be typecast. It's our state of mind, the energy of it that shapes our physical experience, its lightness or its heaviness, and our connection to the overall one of the infinite intelligence. I invite you again to breathe in a moment of relaxation and release. Think about the beautiful springtime, all that is growing, all that is possible, the springtime also in our minds. If we relax enough to allow ourselves to remember this truth of our existence. So let us together all use the opportunities that are so abundant before us. And I wish you much joy and happiness as we weed our respective gardens of life. Thank you.